谢谢，谢谢你。Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 神祝福你。Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 耶稣爱你。Amen. Gloria a Dios. Let me, I'm practicing. Hallelujah. It's such a joy to be with you this morning. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Amen. I'm so grateful to Pastor Alan, to his precious wife, our sister Angela. Right? Sister Angela. Thank you so much. Thank you for receiving me. And it is my pleasure to be once again in a Chinese church, in a Chinese-speaking church. And for some unknown reason to me, surprising reason that God has, the Lord has united this, your servant, with the Chinese people. I cannot explain it, but I have been the guest speaker for Li Liangtan for many, many years, many times. I have met the founder of Agape Church, Dr. Ernest Chan. So we were together. I was his guest speaker in Chicago. So we had a powerful service there, also with Pastor Joseph in Hawaii. So we had a marvelous time. Let me tell you, the Lord has a special purpose with the Chinese people. You are in God's agenda, and we from where I come, Latin America, we are wild. Yeah, we have existed only for a few hundred years. That's all. But you have existed for thousands and thousands of years. So there's much wisdom. There's much power. China is rising up to be not only an economical and military power, but also an army for God. Amen. So, hallelujah. Welcome in the name of Jesus to the army of the Lord. I'm so grateful this morning. And thank you, Sister Tiffany, for making this possible. We have many friends in common. And one of my, I would say, my main intercessor, she's Chinese also. Sister Margaret, she says, I love her because she says, Pastor Victor, let's pray short. She says, let's pray short. And then she goes on praying nonstop 30 minutes. She can pray, brother. She can really pray. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is good. And also Pastor Mei Han. Yeah, Pastor Hannah, she's a close friend. Naomi Sue, and I can mention so many, but the Lord is good, and His mercies endure forever. And I was just trying to look. I saw a friend. Where's Brian, right? Did I say correct? Yeah. Brian, hey, he remembered me, so let's give you a high five here. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So good to see you, Brian, this morning. Well, we are so happy this morning, and we know that the Lord has something in store for us. There is a special purpose that I cannot understand, but God has something in store for us this morning. So with that, I'd like for you to go to the book of Zechariah, Prophet Zechariah. We're just going to take a little passage there and see what the Lord has for us. But as we go there, I also want to join you with this celebration of this sixth anniversary here in this place. So congratulations over these past 6 years. But I understand that the church has existed even before that, right, Pastor? Hallelujah. For 20 more years. So that makes 26. Amen? Am I correct? Praise the Lord. So happy anniversary. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say happy anniversary. Amen. Yeah, we're only 26. We're young. Amen. There's a whole lot of future ahead of us. So there's good things coming. And you know, as I remembered about this 6 years, you know that number seven, you have entered the seventh year. And of course, number seven is the perfect number of God. It means the year of completion, the year where the Lord finishes whatever He has started. And it has to do with what the Apostle Paul said, that whatever God has started, He is faithful to finish until the end. So what you have seen until now is nothing, but this seventh year will be a year of explosive growth for the glory of God. It will be a year of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It will be a year that the Lord will bless this church like never before. And if you believe it and you receive it, you can say amen. Amen. And I come from a country that we had to wait for many, many decades until God finally showed up. My country of origin is Argentina. South America, Messi, okay? Maradona. If any of you follow soccer, those are some of the stars there. And we had to wait for many, many years until God showed up and until waves of revival came. But let me tell you, God once started working in 1982 after several waves of the Holy Spirit, it has been nonstop for the glory of God. For the last decades, we have seen exponential growth in Argentina, churches becoming mega churches, a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. We have seen revival like we had never even imagined before. And I remember when the man of God came to my hometown, Rosario. That was called the graveyard of the evangelist, meaning that any evangelist that came, his ministry was turned to die there. Not himself that he would be killed, but that his ministry would not do too well. And that was true because in 1976, Luis Palau came, famous Luis Palau, and we had a magnificent, magnificent stadium. It was Newell's Old Boys Stadium. There was much advertising. He was celebrating spring with us, and only a few hundred people came. It was like nothing. It wasn't too successful. But after decades of praying and interceding and believing the Lord, 1985 was the year that revival broke out. And it was the year that we came together with churches of all kinds. So pastors that were mainline denominations. We had brethren, and we had pastors from the Baptist churches, and we had Pentecostals of every color and every shade. We had brothers from everywhere, even Salvation Army and Methodists. We came together, and in the power of unity, God moved like never before. Carlos Anacondia came to our city. We had a 45-day crusade, and it was so powerful. It was every night seeing the glory of God. Tens of thousands of people coming to the feet of Jesus. The deliverance tent could hold 1,500 people. So the evangelist was preaching in front. We had a deliverance tent in the back. And one night, that deliverance tent was so packed. Can you imagine 1,500 people manifesting demons being delivered at the same time? It was like bumblebees. You could just hear that in the back. You know, it was amazing because the power of God was sweeping through, and it was like the Lord Jesus said, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven," and from that time on, the grip that Satan had over my city was gone for the glory of Jesus. And now we have freedom in the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders and miracles. We have seen so many things. One of the testimonies that most shook me in Carlos Anacondia Crusade was this veteran from the Falkland War that we call the Malvinas War. He had been hit by a British bullet in his skull. He survived, but he had this titanium that surrounded his skull just to keep it together. But that also made him like a human antenna. So he would receive different kinds of waves, and he would have migraine headaches. Like he couldn't even support. It was just terrible night after night. But he came that night and he felt that he was healed. So he went back to the doctor saying, "Hey, you know, the pain is gone." So the doctor said, "Well, let's see what goes on." And he had him x-rayed. And the x-ray showed that not only his skull had been repaired, but the middle had disappeared for the glory of God. Can anyone praise Jesus this morning? Say amen. And let the glory of God manifest. We saw so many things, so wonderful things. One of the signs that we saw in Carlos Anacondia's crusade was that he told me in person that he had prayed for this for 2 years, and it never manifested. Until one day it started manifesting. It started one, and then it was a dozen, and then it was hundreds. It was the healing of tooth cavities being filled with gold and silver and precious stones. So every night we would have people people that wouldn't even believe. They were not even expecting it. And God was filling cavities with gold and silver and precious stones. Some had like the sign of the cross. Others looked like a dove. But it was a supernatural sign that God would do for the glory of His name. Can God do it again? Can God do it this morning? I'm asking. Is there anything impossible for the Lord? Are we believing the Lord this morning? If you believe it, you can say amen. So I know that the founder of this precious, I don't want to say denomination, but this precious fellowship, Agape, he himself, Dr. Chan, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he told me in person about his testimony, how he had been in that denomination for so many years, and he had the successful church in San Francisco. Once he got filled with the Holy Spirit, like just like many other ministers, he was kicked out of the denomination. The denomination kicked him out, but God opened a supernatural door. Hallelujah. And he's the founder of hundreds and hundreds of churches all over the world. He has been a voice for the gospel. So I honor you this morning, and I know that everything we do, we need to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. So say it with me. The anointing breaks the yoke. You can say it again. The anointing breaks the yoke. And perhaps you feel like that little grasshopper. I don't know if anybody saw Kung Fu in the past. And the master would say, little grasshopper. Little grasshopper. Like he was so little grasshopper. And you know, the grasshopper by itself can only fly something like 3 or 4 miles. That's all he can do. Because it's a little insect. 3 or 4 miles. But the grasshopper has an instinct that he knows how to catch the tailwinds of the strong storms. So he waits for that. And sometimes these little grasshoppers travel all the way from Africa to Europe. 300, 400, 500 miles. Because they catch the tailwind of the storm. And let me tell you, you and me are like little grasshoppers. So just turn to your neighbor and just put your hand over that shoulder and say, little grasshopper. Just say, little grasshopper. Little grasshopper. Yeah. You know, you can only do so much in your own strength. But you know, today we have a tailwind of the Holy Spirit that will be blowing in this place. Hallelujah! And that tailwind of the Holy Spirit is going to carry you into every plan and purpose of God in the name of Jesus. So turn to your neighbor again and say, little grasshopper, we are going places. We are going places in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So let's go to the Word of God, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. That's all I want to read this morning. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. I'm asking, is it true that God is in the details? I think somebody says that the devil is in the details, but God is in the details. Can you say amen to that? Let's see what Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1 says. If you have trouble finding Zechariah, it's just before the New Testament, so right at the end of the Old, right before the New. If you're looking at the maps, you went too far. You have to go back a little bit. Amen. Does everybody have Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1? Yes, very easy. It says that in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to who? Say it loud. Say it. Came to who? Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. That's all I want to read. So let's read it again. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to who? Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. Father God, we ask today that you lead us by your Holy Spirit. Let it be Holy Spirit led. Everything that we say, every direction that we take, let it be led by the Holy Spirit, my Father. And we are asking you to do everything you want to do, Lord. Speak to your people. Strengthen your people. Heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed. Let's see mighty miracles this morning, my Father. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree with me, you can say amen. And you know, this is the first time that it appears in this order. Zechariah, Berechiah, and Iddo. It's the correct pronunciation. So say with me, Zechariah, Berechiah, Iddo. Now, everything in the Word of God is not is not a coincidence. Everything has a purpose. It's just not by chance. So Zechariah means God remembers. So point to your forehead and then and just touch it. Say, if you have a head, just touch it. Then say, God remembers. Say it loud, God remembers. That's Zechariah. So Zechariah means God remembers. Then the second, he was the son of Berechiah. Now, Berechiah means God blesses. So stretch out your hands like this to bless and say with me, God blesses. So Berechiah means what? God blesses. And Berechiah was the son of Edo. So Edo means in the appointed time. If you don't have a watch, just touch your wrist and say, in the appointed time. You used to have a watch before iPhones came. Now iPhones solve every problem, right? But you don't use it anymore. But say with me, the appointed time. So Zechariah means God? You forgot. God what? God remembers. And Berechiah means God blesses. And Edo means in the appointed time. Now, I learned that there are three signs of aging. Three signs of aging. Whenever you see this, it means that you might be aging. So I'm not talking about you this morning. People aging, I have good news. They didn't come this morning. Somebody say amen. But I heard that there's three signs of aging. Number one is you start forgetting things. And the other two, I don't remember. Could it be that I'm aging? I hope not. But there is something about God that God remembers. That's Zechariah. God remembers. Because some people say, well, God forgot my prayers. God forgot how I lived for Him. God forgot how I gave Him all I had. God forgot. And it looks like sometimes that is engraved in some people's heart. Like, God forgot about me. God forgot about me. But this morning I come to tell you that God, you forgot, that God remembers and God blesses in His appointed time. In His appointed time. Now, I have to tell you that that God remembers doesn't just mean that for some reason He had amnesia. I almost forgot. there comes a time in your life that you start forgetting things for real. But the expression God remembers is found 73 times in the Bible. And it's not that God is aging. He's not old. He doesn't have memory loss. He doesn't have amnesia. But the essence that God remembers is based in the fact, listen to this, that He is about to do something for someone because of His precious commitment. So when the Bible says that God, say, God remembers, it's not, poor little you. No, it's not memory loss. It means that God is about to do something for someone because of His precious commitment. And I have to tell you something. God has a precious commitment to you. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you happy. He wants to see you healthy. He wants to see you prosperous. Can anybody say amen this morning? Amen. Say it with me. God is committed to me. And the expression that He remembers is used in the Hebrew to mean that God is ready to move in someone's behalf. So somebody say this morning, God is ready to move. God is ready to move. The first mention that God remembers is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. You can go and look at it with me if you want. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. The first mention. The first mention. And the first mention is in regards to a fresh start. So we know that God got fed up with so much sin and so much corruption in the world that He said, I cannot tolerate this anymore. I just can't stand it. Let's do something new. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So he built an ark, as you well know. And they started, and the animals started coming in. And, And God locked the ark. God just shut it up and say, that's it. And now the flood came. And the Bible says that not only did it rain from the heavens above, but even the springs of water from the earth underneath came up. So there was a great flood. Now, how many days did Noah spend in the ark? How many people know? Huh? 100? 100? Anyone give more? 150? I hear 150 here. So anybody give more? 100, 150? How many? Huh? 190? 197? Anyone give more? Yeah, anyone give more? I hear 197 here. 197 goes once, goes twice. It's not 197. It's not 197. Let me tell you how many days Noah spent, listen, 378 days in the ark. Because it was 40 days of rain, but not only 40 days of rain, but also 40 days of the springs from down below. But after it rained, it's not like it all of a sudden drained up. Everything's dry, just get out of the ark. No. He spent a total of 378 days in the ark. Can you imagine? Now, a day or two, 40 days, okay. But remember that Noah had to take care of the ark along with his family. And one thing is to take care of your little pit and your little doggy and your little cat. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about? You take care of that. Imagine taking care of the elephants. I mean, having to deal with all that waste. One day is nothing. 100 days, 378 days. But it was Mr. and Mrs. Elephant. It was Mr. and Mrs. Lion. It was Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceros. And all the animals that you can think about. And it was Noah that was in charge of doing all that. Now you imagine not only 370 days of taking care of that, can you imagine the smell of the ark? Can you imagine that? 378, you know, sometimes God delivers us from something and we are safe and we are good and we are blessed and we have received salvation and we are born again. But sometimes we are in situations that we say, Lord, this is really smelly. Lord, thank you, but this is stinking, my Father God. Is there something that you can do? But listen, the Bible says that God remembered. Genesis 8, verse 1, it says that God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And again, it's not to say, oops, oh, I forgot about little you, Noah. Oh, I had you so and so long. No, no, no. When God says that he remembers, it's because God is about to move in behalf of someone because of his great commitment. And how did God move? Listen to this. And the Bible says that God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. Hallelujah. It was the move of the Holy Spirit. God sent the winds to be able to subside the water. And I am telling you this morning, and I am prophesying that the winds of the Holy Spirit are blowing over this place in the name of Jesus. And they are blowing over the seventh year in this place in the name of Jesus. And something wonderful is about to happen in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy this morning that God has not forgotten your tears, and God has not forgotten your prayers, and God has not forgotten your tithes and your offerings and every good thing you did for the Lord. But the holy, powerful, mighty wind is about to blow in the name of Jesus. Can you give the Lord a mighty clap in the name of Jesus? Because it will be like in Acts chapter 2, it will be the sound of a mighty rushing wind in the name of Jesus. And all because of three things. Because God and God blesses in his appointed time. Now, good enough for that. The second time that God says that he remembers, I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 19, verse 29. Genesis 19, 29. Because this has to do with your family. God remembers your prayers for your family. God remembers. And sometimes it doesn't look like he remembers. Sometimes it takes time. And I cannot get into the timetable of God. Sometimes I don't understand. You can imagine me trying to understand an infinite mind. You know? But I do honor Abraham, because the Bible says that he was believing for family matters not only 1 year, but Abraham believed for a quarter century. 25 years without seeing any change. How about that? Will you still believe after a quarter of a century? It's hard. Lord, I've been believing. Lord, yes. You're going to give me a family. You're going to give me a nation. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Where is it? I don't see any change. And it was the opposite. He and his wife were getting older. And he says that he, one time he looked at his body and said, well, I'm so dead. But God remembers and God blesses in his appointed time. In this occasion, it had to do with iniquity. Again, it had to do with sin. It was the five cities of the plain. And among them were Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord, he's so good. How many believe God is good? So he said, Abraham is my friend. We have such an intimacy. We have this friendship going on. How could I not share a secret? Abraham, I share a secret with you. Can I share a secret with you, Abraham? Yeah? You're not going to tell anyone? Listen, I am fed up with these people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities there. They're terrible. They're doing terrible things. So I'm going to destroy them. And Abraham said, oh, Lord, wait a minute. But I have my nephew there. He's like a son to me. We have to part ways because we are getting so big in business. But he's like a son to me. Lord, surely there must be 50 righteous people there. How about 45, 40? 30, this bargaining seems like Chinese dealers, right? How about 30, 20, yeah, 20, 10. Yeah, and he thought, there surely must be 10, he thought. And then, because it's Lot. And his wife, and his daughters, and his immediate family, his sons-in-law, so it must be 10. He started bargaining. Yeah. Good enough with 10. And God said, if there are 10, I won't destroy the city. Were there 10? No. God didn't say anything, so it was silence for quite some time. But when God was about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19:29. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, listen to this. He did what? He? Say it loud. He what? He? You forgot now. He did what? He remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. So for a long time, there was like prophetic silence. But in the moment that was needed, God remembered, and God blessed in his appointed time. And I want to tell you about your family members. You have prayed. How many have prayed for sons and daughters and wives and husbands and grandsons and grandchildren? And if you, how many have prayed for that? If you didn't pray, you're going to heaven. No, not true. But if you didn't pray, you're in trouble. Can I say? No, you're not in trouble. But how many are praying for family members? You lift up your hand, say amen. And all of a sudden you say, well, nothing happened. They're still living a worldly life. They're still rejecting the gospel. They're still not in the ways of the Lord. How come I don't see any change? And again, sometimes we'd like for things to see a gradual change, like a process. Sometimes you don't see anything, and sometimes it's even worse. Can I have a witness here? Somebody say amen. Lord, I'm praying in this direction, and but let me tell you that God, you're forgetting, that God what? Remembers, and God blesses in His appointed time. Because now that the cities were about to be destroyed, God sent His angels to be able to literally drag Lot and his whole family out. They had to pull them like by the hairs because they were hesitant. Oh, that Sodom is so nice. We got the theater here, and we got the country club, and we got some the spa, the mall. Oh, I like the mall. And Lot's wife's like, where will I buy some shoes? I don't have shoes. Women never have shoes, you know. Have you noticed that? I don't have shoes. And they were hesitant. But the Bible says that the mercy of the Lord was active in that moment. And they literally, if you look at that, the Bible language means that they literally dragged them out of the city. You're going to come out. And they dragged them out and put them in safety. Because God remembered the prayers of His friend Abraham. And let me tell you this morning, God will remember your prayers in the appointed time. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know that God, say it again, that God, I met a precious friend. His name is Sergio. He's from Mexico. He pastors a precious church in Monterrey. And we met, in Singapore. So we stayed for 30 days. We were doing an advanced leadership training right there. So I had him as one of the trainees. We were together for 30 days. And I remember he was so joyful always, you know, he was so relaxed and so laid back. And if anyone has ever been to Singapore, it's hot and it's humid. And like I said, it's like you're sweating all the time. And I was sweating also. I wasn't really good, but I kind of complaining. It's so hot here, and I'm sweating all the time. And he said, but Vic, you know what? People all over the world pay big bucks to go to steam spas. they pay you to get the steam baths, and we're getting it for free. That was Sergio. He was so nice. And he told me about his testimony. He says, you know what? I came to the Lord when I was an accountant for a big firm in Mexico. It was a multinational, and it was one of the big companies. So I was an executive there. I flew in the big private jets, and I had the life, and I could buy anything my heart wanted. So that was my life until my wife came to Jesus, and she was saved. And along with her, my son and my daughter, he said, were saved. So his daughter's name is Axa, his son's name is Aaron. So Aaron and Axa were also saved in that church. And he said that they would always invite him to come. Dad, come with us to church. You know, we're rejoicing so much. God is blessing us. And he, like an old, macho Mexican man, would say, no, that's not for me. What are you going to do, Dad? Oh, no, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to drink my whiskeys, and I'm going to smoke my cigars, and I'm going to watch some TV in front of that big TV I got. And they would invite him. Dad, come to church with us. Let's go. Dad, let's go. Oh, no, you can go. What are you going to do, Dad? Well, I'm going to drink my whiskeys, and smoke my cigars, and we're going to watch my big TV here. That was quite some time after that. But when his son turned 18, he decided in his heart that he would give him as a birthday gift, a brand new car. So he bought a brand new car, and after the party that they threw, that he put the keys in his hand, and Aaron goes driving out. He drives away, and the first thing that happens, he has a great big accident. The first day, his life was at stake. He was in the hospital. He was crying out to God. And the Lord delivered his son, Aaron. And they continued serving the Lord. But Sergio was still reluctant to the gospel. Until one day. But, Sergio tells me that his wife would go to church. And she would sit like I'm trying to find a four, but there's no four here. But it was like a four row seat, and she would sit here in the second seat, and then Aaron and Axel. So it would be his wife, Aaron and Axel. So the usher would come, and she would say, "Sister, is this seat taken?" She said, "Yes." Said, "Yeah." "Whose seat is that?" "My husband." "Where's your husband?" "Oh, he's coming. So every Sunday, she would come, and she would sit here in the second seat, Aaron and Atsa, and she would leave that seat open. And the usher, it was so full. The sister, "Is this seat taken?" "Yes." "Whose is it?" "My husband." "Where is he?" He's coming. And one Sunday, he was back in his house doing what he said he would do. He was drinking his whiskey. He was smoking his cigars, watching his television set, and he thought to himself, "I feel so empty. I feel so lonely, drinking my whiskey, smoking my cigars, watching this TV while my family is praising the Lord. What am I doing here back home?" So by himself, he went to church that Sunday, and the usher was at the door. And he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Sergio." "Oh, I got your seat right here." And he got saved that Sunday night. And so he was so trained, so changed and transformed by the power of God, he is serving the Lord as a pastor. And all because God and God blesses in the appointed time. So I have come to tell you this morning, your prayers have been heard. God is about to move in behalf of you because He is committed to you. And your family members will be saved in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody who will praise the Lord with me this morning, say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. God will do it for His glory. He will send His angels. And number three, I want to go to Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. Because this is the third time that God says that He remembers. Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. God not only remembers you, God remembers your family, but God also remembers your goals and your dreams and everything that the Lord has put in your heart. Now, we are going to see now a woman that had to bear the discrimination. She had to bear the scars of not being able to have children. On top of that, she had a sister called Leah. And Leah, man, she would have children like bunnies. Bang, 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 bang. I mean, it was so tremendous. You look at how many children Leah had. It was like Jacob just had to look at his wife and bam, she'd get pregnant. Yeah? Like that. And Rachel was like, where are my children? What's going on with me? She came to the point of renting her husband from Leah. She said, I'll rent my husband. You know, let's see if something happens today. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. But I want you to look at Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. And it says there, then, God what? God what? Say it loud, God what? Remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. Now, question is, what did God listen? When did Rachel pray? And I want to take you to there because you might not notice it's enclosed, it's covered, it's concealed, but it's there. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, it says that when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she came jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, there was a cry, "Give me children or I'll die." And Jacob, if you look at the rest of the passage, don't hear it now, but whenever you can, Jacob said, "But I'm not God. I'm not God," but God heard that prayer. "Give me children or I'll die." God heard it. And now the Lord opened up Rachel's womb. So she was able to give birth to children. And the first one, the first one was who? Do you remember who he was? What's his name? Joseph. And I love what she did. Because once her womb was open, she received her first child. And she said, this one I will name Joseph, which means let the Lord add another one. Are you listening? So she had the one, and she said, oh, thank you, Lord. I will call him, thank you. No. She said, thank you, yes, but I want another one. Somebody say, I want another one. I want more blessing. I want more doors to open. And I want to keep receiving whatever the Lord is doing. And God heard her because she also had a second son by the name of Benjamin. So the Lord heard Rachel. Perhaps just like Rachel, loneliness overwhelms you and you feel forgotten, deeply empty, mired in disappointment. You're thinking about giving up your dreams. You punished your dreams and your goals. But you must understand that just because you erased your dreams from your heart, God doesn't cancel them. God is still in the business of making your dreams come true. Is anybody agreeing with me? You can say amen this morning. Amen. And I'm not just talking about biological children, and I'm believing for that. I know, and I have seen many, many, many dozens and perhaps hundreds of sisters in the Lord that we pray for. And in most of the occasions, it happened just exactly like this. They didn't only have one child, they had twins for the glory of God. Somebody say hallelujah. So, I'm believing for biological children. And may the Lord bless you with biological children, whatever the problem might be. Sometimes there are some problems in the reproductive system. Too complex to be able to talk about this morning. But I'm talking about even more than that. About your visions. About your dreams. About those things that you had in your heart that you conceived. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't have a ministry in the measure that I would like it to be. I don't have the anointing in the measure, and I don't have this. I haven't seen my dreams and my visions come to pass. But I have come to tell you this morning that God is about to do something in the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing this morning. Will anybody receive it? Say amen. Hallelujah. Because God... Say it again. God remembers and God blesses in His appointed time. Hallelujah. God will do a mighty thing in this year to come. This year is the year of completion. This year, seventh year of this church and this place, will be the year of the Lord. It will be the year of mighty, glorious things. Hallelujah. Can anybody praise the Lord with me this morning? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I want to tell you that God remembers you so much that He has got you tattooed. He's got your name tattooed. You know? I haven't seen so many Chinese people tattooed, but Latin people, especially Mexican people, they fall in love. I don't know if you saw a Mexican man, and they tattoo in their chest, big like this, Maria. Yeah. Problem is, what happens if all of a sudden Maria dumps him? Which has happened. There's so many stories, but he has you tattooed in the palm of his hands, which means he will never forget you. Where's that? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. So when loneliness seems to perpetuate in your life, I want you to hang on to this promise in Isaiah 49, verse 15. Listen to this. Isaiah 49, verse 15. What does it say? It's a question. God is asking a question. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? It's a question. First, can a woman forget her little baby? The answer is yes. Sadly enough, there are some women that forget. Give them away, they don't care. True. Am I speaking the truth this morning? Because now God will say, surely, listen to this, they may forget. They may forget. Yet I will never forget you, because I have you engraved in the palms of my hands. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, how did God engrave your name in the palm of his hands? How was that? How was that? When did that happen? And I got to tell you this morning, when Jesus went up to the cross, they put a crown of thorns on his head and he bled there. But also, the Lord Jesus, when he hung on the cross, the Roman nails went through his hands and his feet. And once the Lord Jesus resurrected, he's going to give us a new body, but he resurrected with the same body. And he has still the nail wounds in his hands. He still has his side open by the Roman blade. He has still the wounds. And every time he looks at the wounds, he's saying, I did it for you. That's your name right there. What's your name?
Alex.
Alex, I did it for Alex. And I did it for April?
Apple.
I did it for Apple. And I did it for Alan. And I did it for Tiffany. Every time he looks at his hand, he's got you engraved there, because he will never forget you. Just turn to your neighbor and say, little grasshopper, he will never forget you. Amen. Amen. He will never forget you. He's got you tattooed in his hands. Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Now, I want to ask you this morning, is there anything that God can forget? Hallelujah. Luckily, fortunately, yes, there is something that God willingly forgets. And I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 43, 25. Because of the things that he remembers and he blesses in his appointed time, there are things that God promises never to remember again. Isaiah 43, 25. It says, it's me, even I. Am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and listen to this, and remembers your sins no more. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so relieved of this. I got to tell you, I am so relieved of this. I don't know about you, but I do have a few things that I'm very ashamed of. You look like angels. You never sin. That's me. I'm the most carnal, I don't know, singing preacher you've ever seen, but because you look so holy. I got some things that I'm ashamed of in my past. And sometimes, oh Lord, how could I think that and do that? And oh Lord, I'm so ashamed. And you know what? God says, what? That? I don't remember. Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's because he willingly blotted out that from his heart and from his memory. So he doesn't even remember. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God doesn't remember. Micah 7:19 says that he hurls all our iniquities in the depth of the sea. So he threw all our iniquities and sin in the depth of the sea. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And on top of that, he put a little sign saying, no fishing. Can't fish them out. Oh, I'm going to move. Can't fish them out. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But we know one thing. That God, you forgot. That God remembers and God blesses in his appointed time. And upon closing, I want to say this morning that God has not forgotten your faithfulness over the years serving this church. God has not forgotten your loyalty to your pastor. Only Pastor Allen says amen. Nobody has been loyal to you, Pastor. What's going on here, man? Somebody say hallelujah. God has not forgotten your loyalty to the man of God, to this church. Say with me, God has not forgotten Say, God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten your prayers. God has not forgotten your tithes and your offerings. He's not forgotten. Where is it, O Lord? Let me tell you, sometimes the reward is being kind of set aside for some time. But you know what? It's accumulating interest. One of her sisters told me that when she adopted one of her children called Andrew, she told me that the San Mateo County offered her $500 a month. She was about to reject it, and I had this idea she had the same. And I said, well, you shouldn't have rejected that. She said, no, I thought about it. I didn't reject it. What did you do? She said, I opened up a savings account. And by the time it had grown, it was $65,000. It had accumulated interest. And sometimes you say, where's my reward? Lord, I sowed. Lord, I blessed. I gave an offering, and I have been faithful, and where's my harvest? Oh, no, it's accumulating interest. But because when God pays, He will pay Him big. Can you say amen to that this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, He will pay Him big. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He'll pay Him big. I can assure you that. I can assure you that. You know, I went to this conference because I'm also a translator, so I went to this big conference, thousands of people that we held in our capital city, Buenos Aires, and I spent days there, you know, morning and night, staying all day and translating for everyone and just serving them. Of course, I didn't ask anything, and you know, I just went willingly. But at the end of the conference, I was surprised that they closed it like so in a hurry. So they came to the close of the conference. Well, we're done. Thank you, people. God bless you. And they started putting out, you know, taking off things. And nobody even said, thank you. Not even that. So they left. and I was kind of, you know. But on the last morning, I was in my shower. I was taking my shower before going. Say hallelujah. I showered also this morning, just to let you know. So, in my shower, I was praying to the Lord. And I prayed the strangest, most, the weirdest prayer I think I've ever prayed. Because for some reason, I prayed that morning, oh Lord, you know what? I would love to go to England to share your love with my English brothers. England had never been in my heart. I tell you. I don't know where that came from. And I said, but it just, oh Lord, I love so much to go and share your love with my English brothers. And I went to the conference, and somebody there before the conference ended said, hey, what's your name? Victor Bianco. Can I have your number? I want to invite you to this conference that we're going to do in Europe, and we're going to do Spain, Belgium, France, and Germany. And I wanted to take you along. And I said, you know what? I just came back from a trip to South Africa, and I don't feel like, you know, like going again. It's going to be too sudden. No. He said, don't say no. Just pray about it. And you answer tomorrow. No. And I was like negative. Like, no. Say, no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Just pray about it. And when I went back home, the Lord reminded me, saying, hey, you dummy. Sometimes he... we got this thing going on that he calls me things, but hey, haven't you prayed that you want to go and share my love with you with the English world? I said, yes, Lord. There you go. I'm putting you at the door of England. And I went to Europe, and we did that conference. It was amazing. 4 days four countries in 4 days. It was just amazing. And I was right at the brink of England. And when I went to England, those English brothers, not only did I share my love with them, but they spoiled me with everything that you can imagine. The hand of the Lord had rewarded me from every good thing that I had done. So, if you haven't received your harvest yet, just touch your neighbor and say, little grasshopper. It's accumulating interest. Amen. It's the bank of the Lord. Accumulate. Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Because as you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. At this point, I'd like for the praise and worship team to help me, please. Would you stand to your feet? I want to mention this last scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Listen to this. Will the praise and worship team come, please? Hebrews 6:10. Listen to this. God is not unjust. He will not forget. Lord, what will you not forget? Your work and the love you have shown as you have helped God's people and continue to help them. So with that, I want to say, I want to bless every one of your gifts. Whatever you have given to the ministry of your servant here, may the Lord bless you richly and abundantly. May He multiply the thousandfold for His glory. And may it come with accumulated interest in the mighty name of Jesus. And you say amen this morning. Because I have learned something that God, you forgot. Say it loud. When God remembers and God blesses in His appointed time. Hallelujah. Apple, just make that beautiful keyboard sound for me. Hallelujah. Just do a chord right there in the name of Jesus. Let's prepare to worship the Lord this morning. Just pray with me and say, Father God, thank you that you have not forgotten my faithfulness in my prayers, my intercession for my dear ones. Say with me, I receive my blessing. I receive my harvest. I receive the move of your Holy Spirit, the mighty rushing wind. Let it come over me and my family. I receive every blessing you have for me this morning. And I give you praise that you bless, Lord. And I'll say, Father, this is my time to be blessed, to be anointed, to be healed, to be delivered. Father God, thank you. This is my time to be used by your mighty hand. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.